You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears Boisson. Coming up, postal workers may have violated the Hatch Act during the 2016 presidential election. We'll learn what happened.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. On Wednesday, Foxconn Technology Group pledged to invest $10 billion to build a plant in Wisconsin that could employ up to 13,000 workers. This news is likely to have a big impact on Wisconsin's economy and maybe on the 2018 elections.
Robert Menser joins us now to talk about this and other top news from the past week. He's a senior statewide editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us almost every Friday for our weekly news roundup. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Judith. Thank you.
Hey, so big news. Just heard it in the newscast. Wisconsin's Reince Priebus is out as White House Chief of Staff. What does this mean for Wisconsin?
Well, so it's a little hard to say as this just happened, but one thing I saw pointed out sort of instantly on Twitter that I found interesting is with the departure from the White House of former communications director Sean Spicer and now Reince Priebus, Wisconsin's own Reince Priebus, this leaves Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, another Wisconsinite, without a strong ally in the White House. Reince and Priebus and Ryan were very close from Wisconsin political circles, Priebus being a Kenosha guy and former Wisconsin Republican Party chairman, and so it's possible that will have some kind of ripple effects in how the White House interacts with the House.
And we'll be following that, obviously, but there's a lot of other big news from this week. There was a lot of buildup to the Foxconn announcement and then the announcement that the Taiwanese manufacturing giant is going to be building a large facility here in the state, $10 billion price tag on that. How big a deal is this for Wisconsin?
Foxconn, I hadn't heard about this. What story is this? No, of course. So this is like the big Wisconsin business story for this week. So it's a big deal. The company says that the plant could employ up to 10,000 employees plus. A bit remains to be seen. We know that Foxconn also is very interested in automating its facilities when it can, but it's a lot of jobs, and in the shorter term than that, it's a lot of construction and other jobs as the project gets off the ground.
And what needs to happen politically for this deal to actually go through? Because there are large incentives that are involved for Foxconn to come here, and that's something the legislature has to weigh in on.
Yeah, so much is not set in stone yet, and it's been noted that Foxconn had in 2013 announced a much smaller scale, but still had announced plans to open a factory in Pennsylvania that then it never actually opened. So there are still a lot of unanswered questions. It was noted in the newscast also that there's no specific site for what's going to be a 20 million square foot campus of multiple buildings. The legislature has to pass these what are enormous proposed incentive packages worth $3 billion in different sort of tax credits and cash and other forms of incentives. So there's a lot yet to be said, but the announcement is enormous, and it would have an effect on Wisconsin's economy if it does go through.
And what about the impact for Governor Walker if it happens? Probably going to look pretty good for him if it gets either held up by the legislature or ends up not happening, as you said, with the Pennsylvania deal. It feels like this could go either way for Governor Walker.
Yeah, so Republicans are fired up about this, frankly, some Democrats have been pretty supportive as well. So, it's hard to see it getting hung up in the legislature significantly, but what the sort of political effect of this will be for Governor Walker is, I do agree, is yet to be written. Politicians love to make a big announcement. They love a big visible symbol to point to, and that is, a big building, a campus of buildings is better than an abstraction like the unemployment rate or labor force participation rate or whatever. But it's a weird thing. You know, sometimes voters can have short memories for these sort of things. So this is not a perfect analogy for all sorts of reasons. But I did find myself thinking of the in 2009 when Democratic Governor Jim Doyle and the state's Democratic legislature made a big push to keep the manufacturer Mercury Marine from leaving the state, and they threw a bunch of money at the company and declared a big victory when Mercury Marine agreed to remain in Wisconsin. And they did stay. And then in 2010, it was a big Republican wave election, and voters kicked the Democrats out of office and elected Governor Scott Walker and others.
You never know. We're talking with Rob Mensah right now. He's a senior statewide editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And we are taking our weekly look at the biggest state news stories. And Rob, let's move on to, those midterm elections, not that far off. On Wednesday, U.S. Marine veteran Kevin Nicholson announced his campaign for U.S. Senate to oppose Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin. Here's a clip from the campaign ad.
Tammy Baldwin is a disaster on national security. She's dead wrong on the economy. She's liberal, divisive, and honestly, just embarrassing. To me, Baldwin represents everything wrong about Washington.
So what do we know so far about Kevin Nicholson?
So, Nicholson is a Marine veteran. He's a businessman from Delafield, a management consulting firm. And he is the first Republican to officially jump into the race, where there are a number of other Republicans who are said to be maybe thinking about getting in, some state senators and the Madison businessman Eric Hovde, who ran for Senate last time around, but Nicholson is the first to get in. He is also backed, we know, by this rich business owner from Illinois who donates millions to Republicans, including to Governor Scott Walker's campaigns. So Nicholson does, for what it's worth, he has some big money backing him.
Now, he used to be a Democrat in his younger days. Has he addressed that? What does that say about him?
Yeah, and he spoke at a Democratic National Convention. At one point, yeah, he came right at it. He said that listen, I used to be a Democrat, but I've grown up and my views have evolved, which is it does happen. What I think is interesting about this race is at one time, I think people saw this as a very attractive possibility for Republicans to pick off a U.S. senator. Baldwin was elected in 2012, and then in the subsequent elections, of course, Wisconsin has voted for a lot of Republicans. But it seems like it's still a long time from now. Who knows? But it seems like with President Trump's approval rating quite low and Democratic activism very, very high, seemingly, all of a sudden this seems like more of an uphill climb for Republicans. So we will see.
And is Tammy Baldwin considered particularly vulnerable compared to other Democratic senators?
So, like, on paper, she should be, right? I mean, just fundamentally, Donald Trump won Wisconsin just last November, and a lot of areas of Wisconsin have been trending more towards the Republican Party, and Tammy Baldwin is more on the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. So she, again, on paper, she ought to be a vulnerable Republican or a vulnerable incumbent, but I haven't really seen the analysts speaking of her in that way. She's a good politician. She has a strong organization, and I think that based on what we've seen, special elections and sort of the fundamentals of the president's approval rating, it may be a little bit of a smoother ride than might have been anticipated. But a lot can change.
Finally, a big story this week: a Wisconsin tech company is offering to microchip its employees. What's the story here, Rob?
Yeah, this is a little bit crazy. I mean, wearing a microchip inside your body is like one of the prototypical examples of what people think a dystopian future would look like. But we have the technology. People put microchips in their pets, and now a firm called Three Square Market, based in River Falls, says it's getting ready to do this to its employees as a little sort of a test run or a way to demonstrate that this is a thing you can do. They have a little chip about the size of a grain of rice that they implant in your hand between your thumb and your forefinger, and you can use it to, like, a key card to get into the building or to pay for food at the vending machines or whatever they say in their break room. And the idea is that this is the wave of the future.
And they do say that it's voluntary, and I believe that they said about half of their employees were interested in doing it. Is there a possibility that these chips might be misused by the employer, or if this becomes common, that it be misused?
I mean, the other thing to know, I guess it's significant to say, is that the chips are not GPS equipped. So in other words, they will not be tracking their employees' movements. As someone who manages reporters, it seems like a real missed opportunity to me. But what do I know? No, I'm just kidding. This is a little joke. But the question that I have is sort of, what problem is this actually solving? Like, are key cards a really oppressive problem, and it's hindering our productivity? But maybe there are applications. Maybe there will turn out to be applications for this that, in 50 years from now, it'll seem weird that we ever thought it was weird.
So, Rob, would you get the chip?
You know, I have a mental block about it. It's in your body. I don't know. I don't want to get a chip. But it's weird. You carry a phone around. I carry my phone on my person all the time, and that does mm-hmm. have a GPS chip in it, as well as all this other, it contains my life, right? So you could look at it like, what's really the difference? But it feels different to me.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
That was Robert Menser, a senior statewide editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us just about every Friday to look back at the week's biggest news.